Well, from Lord of the Rings and Lost, Dominic Monaghan is going to join us in studio. Always fascinating. The news as well. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Well, I just want to tell you about a quick podcast study here. As you know by now, we all do our very best to align the right sponsors to the podcast. It's a lot of work behind the scenes, and I'm incredibly grateful for your support. We're currently running a quick survey at podcaststudy.com. And we're giving the first 150 people a $10 digital Amazon gift card as an incentive to complete the survey. The information we hear from you about our sponsors is incredibly important to the show, and we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to help us out. I mean, come on. It's free. Now cut us a break. Upon completion of the survey, you'll be asked to include your email address, and we will send the first 150 people a $10 gift card from Amazon. Go to podcaststudy.com and thank you again for helping our show and our sponsors.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Dominic Monaghan's birthday cocktail party for December 8th. Let's see who's invited. Let's welcome Mary, Queen of Scots, the inventor of the cotton gin, Eli Whitney, the founder of General Motors, William Durant, David Carradine joined the party. From the Impressions, let's welcome Jerry Butler. The drummer for the Hollies, Bobby Elliott. Toots Hibbert is here from Toots and the Maytals. Jim Morrison just walked in. The singer for Molly Hatchet, Jimmy Farrar. Kim Basinger. From Def Leppard, Phil Collin. Sinead O'Connor. Nicki Minaj. And screaming comedian, Sam Kinison. Dominic Monaghan is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back, Dominic.
Great to see you.
Moriarty, The Devil's Game, exclusively on Audible.
Yes, sir.
We'll get into that. The TV series Moonhaven as well, streaming on AMC. And, of course, Lord of the Rings, you know, Lost. I forgot about the phenomenon that was Lost. But I was watching This Is 40, I think it was, movie.
Judd Apatow movie.
And I forgot that one of the storylines is his daughter was obsessed Lost. That's and then right. I forgot that we were in the grips.
We were all obsessed.
Of Lost.
Yeah.
It like no other show in the modern era.
Absolutely.
Because back in the day, everyone watched I Love Lucy. But then we got all fractured off and everyone was going in different directions on all these different shows. But somehow Lost came in and just captured everyone.
Yeah. I think you can put a strong argument forward to say that it was maybe the last show that people had to tune in to weekly. It was Wednesday night, 7, ABC, pre-streaming. If you missed it, there's a pretty strong chance on the Thursday that someone's going to absolutely fuck the entire show off for you. So you have to watch it. And Jimmy loved it.
Jimmy Kimmel.
That's probably how I kind of think I did the first season of Jimmy's show. And just kind of thought, okay, great to be on a talk show. And then I think probably after the second or third go around with Jimmy, he was like, just want you to know that, like, this is my favorite show. Me and his girlfriend at the time watch it religiously. We're in love with the show. And I was like, oh, I just thought you supported it because it's on your network and you do the show. He's like, no, it's my favorite show. So
it was a phenomenon.
Yeah, it definitely caught fire. Yeah.
Yeah, the last one.
I saw the finale in a 300-seat theater that was packed. It was like an event.
Yeah.
With, like, sold tickets
like a movie theater.
Yeah.
Ours was a movie theater.
Ours was set up like that at a house party, but everyone had to be quiet.
Right.
No talking or you'd be kicked out.
Right.
I reckon it's impossible to do that now. There's just too many streaming platforms and whatever. But this was the last one of those. I think it definitely has that distinction.
Also, COVID, we were just briefly just talking about COVID. COVID completely fried my brain. Not necessarily having had COVID, which I did have, but just the experience of having COVID. I really struggle now to watch TV and movies in a way that I did pre-COVID.
Like now, parceled out?
Just whatever the 42 minutes of television or a movie, you know, 2 hours, an hour and 45. I struggle to do that now.
That's too much.
Yeah, and I'm trying to retrain my brain to do that. But I'm watching 20-minute clips of how to play League of Legends or 20-minute clips of how to handle a cobra and stuff like that. And I can't watch TV like I used to.
Well, we were talking last time you were in here and you're doing a show where you're traveling and handling crazy
wild things, yeah.
Wild things, insects and cobras and things like that. Yeah. But you weren't just a gun for hire. It was a passion of yours.
Yep. Still have those animals at home.
Yeah. What do you got at home?
At the moment, I have two tarantulas, praying mantis, a black widow, a beaded lizard, which is not to be confused with a bearded lizard. It's a highly venomous lizard, and two rattlesnakes.
Oh, boy.
Are the rattlesnakes venomous?
Yep. They're all venomous. Yeah. I have a friend called Jules. You guys might have met Jules Sylvester. He works in the TV and film industry. Anytime they're dealing with, you know, venomous hot animals, he's the guy.
Jules. Hot animals.
Hot call. Animals, yeah. Oh, wow. And Jules very often finds himself taking rattlesnakes out of Disneyland or Six Flags that have eaten mice or rat poison. And because of that, their digestive system is messed up. So he doesn't have enough space at his place. So very often I'll take him, rehabilitate the rattlesnake, get him to the point where they're
You're
eating.
You're rescuing rattlesnakes.
And then take him to Joshua Tree or Palm Desert and let him go.
So they... they put out the rat poison, the rats eat the poison, then the snake eats the rat, then the snake gets sick.
Yeah.
Not as sick as the rat, but sick.
But sick, stops eating, and very often it will kill them eventually. So it's kind of a miserable death for the snake. They just stop eating because obviously in the wild, if they eat something highly poisonous, they'll just switch off their digestive system until it's better again. But with the rat poison, it doesn't happen that way, and they will die. Huh. So what you do is... It sounds a little gross to people that don't know how it works, but you take a mouse or a rat that's already been killed, you put antibiotic medicine inside it, and then you force feed the snake, the mouse, or rat, and it changes their digestive
system. It's a different spin on the pill pocket that you give the dog.
Yeah.
Very different.
But kind of in the same
principle. Right. Yeah. Am I insane, or I have some memory of the last time you were here, which was years ago, of you having a special affinity for the ant? Or am I crazy?
Yeah, ants are my favorite animal.
I knew it.
Yeah.
You
guys both have fantastic memories, the two of you.
I was just talking about ants on the show.
They're incredible.
The other day.
You were in Lord of the Rings.
They're incredible animals, man. I'm a big fan of wild animals, and ants are kind of my heroes, you know. They live in very condensed environments. They look after their kids. The women come first. Everyone gets fed. There's no murder. There's no rape. They create cleaner soil, cleaner air. They're just an amazing animal. Been around for hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah, they're kind of a metaphor for how we're supposed to do things, but we don't choose to go the ant route.
Yeah.
They can make themselves a raft on water.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like they make a raft.
A ball of ants and they float.
Yeah, yeah. Self-sacrificing for the greater good. They're phenomenal. I spend a lot of my holidays just watching trails of ants go backwards and forwards and really annoying my friends.
Let me tell you what I don't appreciate about rattlesnakes, but you talk me out of this.
Okay.
You get one, you rescue it, you nurse it back to health by doing the Gainsburger routine with the antibiotic that we used to do back in the day if you had a dog.
Yeah.
And at some point, you bring this rattlesnake from the brink of death to robust health, so much so that you can release them in the wild at Joshua Tree. And as you release them, they try to bite you.
That's my
problem.
Yeah. So sometimes they do try and bite you, especially if you've done something that, you know, triggers them in some way. The more you work with those type of animals, the more you realize what is a trigger for a snake. So you imagine a snake, natural predator for a snake is probably something like a horse or a cow, something big like cattle that's going to stamp on them. Not necessarily a human. It's not a natural predator for a snake. But they are very jumpy around something that creates a shadow over them very quickly. Mm-hmm. So if you're out in the wild, if I take my snake out in the wild and I'm taking pictures of it or something like that, I make sure that I do not put a shadow in between my snake and the snake. And I also telegraph my movements quite slowly. So if I'm crouched and I'm going to stand up, I do it kind of slowly and make the snake know what's going on. You do this around a snake, they get
jumpy. Yeah.
I want them to stay wild, because if you're putting a snake back into the wild and it knows that humans are going to give it food or keep it safe, then it's going to get in trouble. So I want it to stay kind of wild and gnarly. And then for me, it's a really – I don't necessarily subscribe – this is just a personal thing. I don't necessarily subscribe to any kind of religious group or anything like that. But my kind of spiritual path in my life has been with animals. So that moment for me of I've taken a sick animal, been lucky enough to rehabilitate it, drive it to a place where it goes and disappears under a rock. That's a really profound kind of spiritual moment for me, and it's worth the risk of getting bitten, which never happens, but it's worth it for me.
Is there such thing as devenomed snakes?
Yeah, you see them a lot in India. All of the guys in India that do the dance with the snake, you know, in the basket where they're playing the flute.
Yeah,
all of those snakes have been defanged, which is terrible. It's awful for the snake.
Now, I know they can milk a snake.
Yeah.
For its venom.
Yeah.
But the venom would replenish itself.
Yeah.
So you'd have to defang it.
You'd have to defang it. If you milk a snake for its venom and then it bit you, there'd be a much lower amount of venom in that bite. There'd still be some venom in that bite. But yeah, they just tear the teeth out of the snake or the cobra. It's an awful existence. Because the snake is trying to be the wild snake and telling the human, you're too close, go away, but it has nothing to defend itself with.
So rehab, how many snakes have you done?
How many rattlesnakes have I rehabilitated? It's got to be over 20.
Yeah, you can say any number you want.
There's
no way of checking.
That's true.
And you've never been bitten by any animal in your home?
I got bitten by a lizard in Thailand. Pretty big lizard. A monitor lizard in Thailand.
Wow, it's a big scar. Forearm scar.
Yeah, so what happened there?
Monitor lizards are big.
They're big. I mean, it was like the distance between myself and you.
Oh, my God.
Brian.
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 Me. Dinosaur.
Yeah, like a crocodile-sized type animal is there. Monitor lizard.
Oof. Didn't Sharon Stone's husband get his toe bit off?
Komodo dragon.
Yes, wearing socks.
Yeah.
These look 100% prehistoric.
Yeah, they've been around for hundreds of millions of years. And that was in a place called Kanchanaburi in Thailand. And you always know, it's always the human that makes a mistake when you get bitten by an animal. And what had happened was...
You got off the plane.
Yeah.
That's the mistake you made, Dominic.
All the ground around the lizard was this very, very dry leaf litter. So it knew, even though I was in its blind spot, which is where you're supposed to be when you're working with an animal like that, it knew exactly where I was because the leaf litter was very kind of crunchy. Yeah. And as I went over to it, it just wheeled around and bit me.
And
do you remember? Did you pass out?
No, it's on camera. You can see it. I don't pass out. I just kind of go, oh, shit. And I like hold my hand up and it immediately starts bleeding. And then my director says, should we cut? But I had always said, which is kind of foolhardy, but I'd always said to my crew, if I ever get bitten or stung by something, don't cut, just keep going. So I went, no, don't cut. But then you see me go like gray, really gray.
Do they have any poison or venom or
something?
Yes,
mildly venomous, yeah, but mildly venomous. It's the bite that's more kind of scary, the force of its bite as opposed to its venom. But it has a, you know, in the way that we understand it, it has kind of a dirty mouth. Because it eats a lot of carrion, so there's a lot of bacteria in that. So I was on antibiotics for like 2 months.
Stitches and everything.
Yeah, right? Stitches. Yeah. I don't know, 12, 14 stitches.
I mean, if I may
good
say
scar,
so.
Though.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah.
It's cool, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I kind of did.
And it's so much better because everyone else has a good scar. Then someone wants to know the story, and it's like something involving a garage door, and it's like, blah. It's never a sword fight or monitor lizard.
You fell
or,
off your bike. So
something that happened
else.
A long time ago
right.
That's not very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the monitor lizard,
yeah.
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Do you have stuff on your list?
Yes, you animals.
Here's what I want. Well, I mean, guys who collect cars or collect whatever have these like, I'm looking for
a
Pantera.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I would, I'd love to free swim with great whites. I'd love to free swim with blue whales. We've never seen a blue whale give birth. We've never seen blue whales copulate. That would be kind of a fun thing to be able to film. I'd like to work with this highly venomous octopus in Australia called the blue ringed Pacific octopus. Beautiful little octopus, but highly venomous. I'd like to do that. Inland taipan, which is arguably the world's most venomous snake in Australia, but that's because you find it in the deep bush of in that beautiful animal.
It's gorgeous.
the deep bush of Australia. So if you get bitten by this thing, you're probably a good 10, 12 hours away from hospital. Oh, that's the reason why it kills so many people. There's just not that many hospitals.
Can't get to help.
Can't get to help.
It's stunning.
It's so beautiful.
I feel like there's more swimming with great whites now
than
ever. Because when I was a kid, you were either not in the water or in a cage.
Yeah, they put you in the cage.
They put you in a cage, and then which was bigger than my bedroom at the time. So I was like, wow.
I can live there.
That's bad digs.
Stretch out.
And then there was always a shark was always ramming the
cage.
And we built up a pretty good case against them. But it turns out you can swim with them.
You can if you're working with the right people and you know about their behaviors, a lot about body language with wild animals and certainly with great whites. You can see when they're kind of annoyed and switched on and getting ready to attack. And then other times they're just kind of exploring a little bit. And it's kind of the controlling the snout is the key thing. So as they come towards you, you have to redirect their snout, obviously, away from you. And they just kind of lose interest. But you don't want them. When I go diving for the nature show that I did, very often, if you're in shark territory, you wear a mask on the back of your head. Because if they think you can see them, they won't attack. They're kind of opportunistic, kind of bullies a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take that off and they're behind you, they're going to have a go at you. But you put the mask on the back of your head, they're like, oh, I'll just wait for an opportunity.
Is it true that you can flip them over and they'll pass out or something?
Yeah, they go into like this thing called ptosis, where they need water to be flowing over their gills. And if you flip them over, they just kind of go into like a toxic shock.
Just flip it over.
That's how killer whales kill them very often.
That's how killer whales kill them.
Killer whales will often grab one of their side dorsal fins and just flip them upside down, and then they'll just hang there and they'll eat them.
The ones that breach are insane.
Crazy.
That's off the northern coast here somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot in Catalina. And Catalina is a real diver's paradise for people learning how to scuba dive. And Catalina Island is a heavily great white shark era.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's full of great white shark. I've
been there swimming just off the boat a lot.
Yeah, Casino
it is beautiful.
Point, right? It's gorgeous.
Yeah, they do this thing where they go, the great whites don't eat people because that's not on their diet, but I don't know what the big difference between the seal and us is. Maybe more blubber.
Well,
they
especially
like fat.
And if you're wearing like black lycra, you probably look like one.
Yeah. And also, they might not eat you, but it's still going to be a real problem if they take your leg off at the thigh and they go, oh, no, I'm not going to eat you. You're like, well, now I'm fucked, you know, because I cannot swim back to the boat.
Yeah, the breaching ones are. Have you seen that, Janet? You've never seen the once breach?
Shark breach? No.
Well, speaking of being sneaky, what the seals kind of swim up around the surface and the sharks go low and then they go up.
Death rumble low.
And that's extraordinary.
They come at a great velocity, and even though they're 2,000 pounds, they go airborne.
Yeah.
It's much like watching refrigerator Perry take the ball into the end zone back then. If you didn't know something that big could move that fast.
I mean, it must be like getting hit by a car. You must get knocked unconscious, you know.
They go sailing into the air.
Yeah,
which, they're insane. Bigger than I thought they were.
A fully grown one can be like 18, 19 feet.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a terrifying animal.
And 2,000 pounds plus?
Yeah, I would think a big one is probably that big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is
insane.
Insane.
The good news, like I said, airborne. If it gets a human like that, I'm sure that impact you're knocked out.
You won't remember being killed and eaten alive.
Digested.
So you got swim with the great whites.
Swimming blue whales, the largest animal on the planet.
I mean, don't we have documentation of what blue whales, you know, mating?
Yeah.
And giving birth and things of that nature. Like, I know the ocean is unexplored, but I feel like everyone has a fucking wet, dry GoPro at this point. And everyone's somewhere. Like, wouldn't we have...
Yeah, you would think.
Why do we not... Do they do it at some depth
or something? The theory behind it is they're doing all this stuff at very deep ocean. Like, it's the reason why you don't see... giant squid and sperm whales get into fights. You see sperm whales come up to the surface of the water covered in scars from these epic battles that they get into with giant squid, but we've never seen that either. And all of these things are happening in these really deep ocean trenches, and that is supposedly where blue whales are mating and giving birth.
Shit gets down and dirty.
Yeah, what is up with the sperm whale, did you say, in the giant squid?
Sperm whale and the giant squid.
What do the sperm whales live off of?
Giant squid.
Oh, that's it. Oh, well, I'll retract that question. Then you got to mix it up.
Yeah,
I watched something on Instagram, I think, actually, about why it's called a sperm whale. It's pretty gross, but tell me if this is accurate. Like, there's stuff in their head that looks like sperm, so they thought it was sperm whale, but what is that stuff in their head?
Yeah, I don't know what that stuff
is. They're blaming their parents.
That's right. Also, if as long as we're on the subject, I've long sort of jokingly, but also not really, wanted to get the word out that, like, dolphins can rape people. They rape each other.
Yes.
They're not, like, the very, like, cute, adorable animals that we think they are. Like, they're very fucking gnarly to, like, female dolphins.
Yeah.
And they'll, can you just back me up on this?
Definitely happens. Definitely documented cases of both male and female dolphins getting kind of frisky and horny and trying to do stuff to people. You know, most of the time, usually the person is not swimming naked, but I think if the person was swimming naked, they can get in trouble. There's also, like, there's a guy off the coast of Wales, which is a country connected to England, that got prosecuted for having relations with a wild dolphin.
Wouldn't that take his rectum right out?
I don't know.
Well, who was on top?
Well, that's a good question.
I don't know.
So intrigued with the giant squid going at it with the sperm whale.
Yeah, yeah. That's an epic battle, man.
I didn't know. Well, I know there's killer whales. I thought they were all about krill and small little planktony things. No, I didn't know they dined on giant squid.
So you have these whales called baleen whales that have these very distinctive kind of mouth openings that looks more like a sieve, something that they're actually siphoning something through.
Right.
All those guys eat the largest animals in the world, eat the smallest animals in the world.
Right.
But the whales that actually have mouths, they're eating big creatures. They're eating dolphins. They're eating, you know, massive squid.
Whatever your mouth can fit.
Whatever you can fit, yeah. But it is interesting that, like, the blue whale, the biggest animal to have ever lived on the planet, eats one of the smallest living creatures, krill. Imagine how much of that they need to eat on a daily basis. That's crazy.
Yeah, they're just a big Roomba. But that robot skims along the surface of the ocean.
But seeing that, I mean, it's extraordinarily big. I think the biggest thing I've been in the ocean with is the whale shark, which is the biggest fish in the world, but that's probably 8-10 times smaller than a blue whale. And a blue whale is harmless, although if it swishes its tail at you, it can obviously kill you. But just being in the ocean and seeing something like that come towards you must be absolutely breathtaking.
Well, the whale shark's no joke either. I mean, they're huge, and they got the word shark in them. But you know, when you're in the ocean and you're swimming around and you see a 12-pound fish, it looks massive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's being magnified or it's your brain or whatever it is, but I could only imagine being in front of a whale shark, which is 40 feet or something.
Big adult ones are massive, yeah. I mean, look at that in comparison to the diver there.
I would...
takes your breath away. Totally takes your breath away.
Once in a while, a giant squid washes up. Mm-hmm. That's about all we got, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere, somebody finds a giant squid. We never really see them in the wild, do we?
No, they spend most of their time in very deep ocean, and they're pretty strictly nocturnal as well. So both those two factors means that we don't see them that much. And ones that wash up that we see is kind of crazy, because most of the time, obviously, if they die in the ocean, they get eaten before they get washed up. So it's weird that they would be that shallow and get washed up. So you don't see them that much. But again, strange.
What are they eating?
They're probably eating, you know, again, anything they can get hold of, small fish.
Why are they hanging around in those depths?
Safer.
Oh, yeah.
That's where all their buddies are.
Well, we've never seen one.
Safer.
That's pretty safe from us.
Yeah. And the giant
Japanese
squid is like
whaling ships, like, can't get to them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like the stuff of lore, though. You think of the giant squid, and that's like in cave paintings. I mean, like, that seems to be the most fantastical thing we think about when we think of what's under the water.
Yeah, I thought it was a myth when I was a little kid. I thought it was, like, you know, some sort of, you know, creature that we've created ourselves. But obviously, they exist. They're just extremely shy, extremely rare. And, it's another fascinating creature. Mm. I love them when they wash up on the beach. And you have, like, a scale of someone, like, stood next to them going, oh.
That's the best. It's as close as we get to a sort of fictional modern day monster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, apes and, you know, even, you know, Sasquatch or something, like two arms, two legs, got the head, you know, whatever. They're kind of, we can imagine that. This is outer space alien stuff, but on the beach. Yeah. I don't know, Gina, what is the biggest one that
the biggest undersea creature?
The biggest giant squid that washed up And it's sad that we're living in a world where we have GoPros and Ring doorbell cameras everywhere, but we can't get any wild, giant
maybe
squid.
If you were to bring it up from the depths of the ocean, it might die as well. If they're living that deep down.
The pressure.
It might be the pressure, yeah.
Holy shit. So the first thing I pull up from ocean.si.edu, giant squid live up to their name, largest giant squid ever recorded, 43 feet long and weighed nearly a ton. And here's a picture of just these tiny little ants, which are people, standing around this giant
thing. What people don't fully appreciate about 43 feet is it's a four-story building.
Right. Yeah.
So stand, walk into a four-story building, stop, and look up. That's the length of the squid.
Yeah, it's nuts. Have you guys been on safari?
No.
So
our lives suck.
I saw beast.
It's a great thing to do, but like it's interesting because obviously we are slightly used to the noises that maybe animals might make in our local area at night. You'll hear coyotes going off. Yeah. Maybe you'll hear the occasional owl or, you know, two cats having a fight. But if it's pitch black on safari and you hear lions, you can understand why people would think there were monsters in the dark. It's just a noise that like vibrates through your entire being. It doesn't sound like an animal that you could understand. It sounds like a monster. It's a monstrous noise, you know. And obviously people in Africa get used to it all the time. But the first time I heard it, I was like, what the fuck was that? They're like, oh, it's a lion. I was like, oh, okay.
Do you feel better? I wouldn't.
I mean, yeah, you're aware that you're protected in the place that you're sleeping, but it's a crazy noise. And safari is an amazing experience.
Give us and my listeners a starter for Ferraris. A starter safari. Like you go, never been, may only go on one.
Yeah.
Don't have all the money in the world.
Yep.
Don't have all the time in the world. What was the one that we should go on?
I would say the best probably beginner safari place is Kenya. Go to Nairobi, fly to Nairobi, and then, you know, probably do some research beforehand and do one of the 15 to 20 safaris that they do out of Nairobi. And within that first couple of hours of your safari, you're seeing zebra, giraffes, gnus, what do you call them? Wildebeest?
News.
Mm-hmm. News. Lions. You know, everything that you would think in a zoo, you're just like, oh, they're just hanging around here, like elephants. I could not believe that at some point on the first or second day, you see a herd of elephants. You're like, wow, they're just hanging around here. They're like, yeah, they're just like sparrows or like pigeons that you might see. They're just
There's
lying around.
Nothing cuter on the planet than a baby elephant.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Also, if you really want to go budget, just go to the Roar and Snore at San Diego Zoo. Or sleep over there.
You can do that too.
They used to have Lion Country Safari in Irvine, California, we were talking about.
Wow.
Picture Irvine, the hills of Irvine, and lions wandering around as you drove through.
That was
your
a safari
car.
Part? They shut that down now?
They shut it down. We looked into it. Irvine Meadows, the amphitheater was built somewhere around there. And you could drive around in your car and look at lions and like zebra and everything just walking around.
Wow.
What could possibly go wrong?
I mean, we're looking at a picture.
Sugar plum.
That is Irvine from like 1967 or something. At least the cars look from the 50s and the 60s. And they just had a bunch of lions walking around.
That's gnarly.
It'd be hard to pull that permit today.
Yeah, it definitely would. It definitely would.
Yes.
I think maybe in the next kind of, who knows, 50, 75 years, something like that, I'm hoping that zoos might kind of revise what animals they have in their habitats. You know, I don't think you should be having large mammals, large cats, bears in zoos. My idea for a zoo in the future is, because some animals do okay in confined spaces, lots of invertebrates, lots of reptiles, lots of fish. They do fine in confined spaces. I have a lizard at home that has a tank probably about half the size of this table, and invariably it sleeps in a spot this size. And I'm always like taking it out, and it comes right back and just sleeps for like 3 weeks until I put food in there. So some animals do well in small spaces. But like a polar bear, for instance, does not do well in small spaces. But in a zoo in the future, you could maybe go over to the section that's the polar bear section, see a piece of polar bear fur, see maybe a polar bear claw, learn about, you know, hopefully at this point, where polar bears live and what they do, and see some video of a polar bear, a little interactive experience, and then move on to an animal that does okay in a confined space. I was in a zoo in England called Chester Zoo near Liverpool with my little nephew when he was like 4 or 5, obsessed with animals, and there was a black panther habitat, like, I don't know, 30 or 40 school kids banging on the glass, and this black panther was sat in the middle of the enclosure, just panting through stress, panting, like an incredibly powerful wild animal surrounded by tiny little kids going, do something, do something. Mm. And this cat's just like, just kill me, just kill me, just kill me. It's so sad. Sad.
You're right about the interactive experience, because in Mammoth at the top of the mountain, which I'm sure you've been to, you know, where everybody skis, I don't, so I was chilling up there, but they have all that. You can touch the fur, they have like the poop from like, you know, dinosaurs, you can
talk like woolly mammoths,
all kinds of stuff, and it's awesome, and you can touch, you know, fur of, you know, pelts and stuff that still exists, but you don't have to cage it to do it. It was actually really cool.
I think that's cool too, and hopefully we'll get there with zoos. I mean, you know, good zoos are zoos that have great kind of research programs, breeding programs, stuff like that for animals that are in trouble. But I really do think, you know, what we know now about a gorilla, a chimpanzee, an orangutan, a lion, a polar bear, an elephant, you put an elephant in an enclosure, like, you see these elephants just losing their marbles. It's so sad that we do that to them, you know?
Yeah.
Dominic, we've talked about all kinds of venomous animals. I believe last time you were here, we talked about ayahuasca.
Mm, did you go do that?
No, hell no, okay. But I still want to.
Yeah, you should.
What scares you?
What scares me? I'm not great around heights. I'm not great. But I, you know, it's not stopped me from like bungee jumping or, you know, trying to get better at heights by doing silly stuff around heights. Okay. But I'm not great. Sometimes I've gone, you know, hiking in the desert with friends, and I have a couple of friends that will like get to the edge of those kind of desert rocks and be kind of like, hey, come do it. And I'm like, no, that's not for me. And especially if they start messing around in those places.
And I'd also like you to come back.
Like, no, now you just, you know, and you'll be silly and it'll be funny until it's not funny. And I don't want to be here for that. So, yeah, I'm not great around heights.
Okay. Ask me the question, Gina.
Adam, what scares you?
Black people. So it's funnier if you answer before you finish asking
the
question.
Don't go on safari.
Oh, God.
Hey, by the way, Bubbles the Hippo escaped 3 times from Lion Country Safari.
Good. Wow. Yeah. 3 times, fool.
And died during the third capture.
I don't like that.
Recapture.
4,000 pounds. And so the Bubbles found refuge in a rain-filled pond, eluded capture for 19 days, and then they was taken down with a bunch of tranquilizer darts, tragically collapsed in an unnatural position and died from suffocation.
I can't hear this.
It gets worse.
No.
It gets worse than the fact that he died?
Yeah.
Was raped violently by the zookeeper.
By dolphins.
An autopsy revealed she was 5 months pregnant.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Just kill me.
Bubble. Okay, hold on.
That's awful.
A hippo, just think about this, those who go to, you know, the Irvine Improv and watch a show, or head out that way and go to the favorite restaurant or whatever. A hippo escaped in Orange County and was on the lam for 3 weeks before they found it.
How?
Imagine how confused that animal was.
This is horrible.
But it's also what I, you know, I was saying an hour ago. I was out in Chatsworth in the 80s. There was land open, you know, Spahn Ranch, you know, it was just open. Orange County was open. Like, this is, this is in the 60s, the 70s or something. Like, I mean,
78.
Wow. This is almost into the 80s, and there was a hippo in Orange County who managed to elude the officials that's that were insane. Looking for it.
So, I mean, obviously a terrified animal, but that's an extremely dangerous animal. Kills more people on the continent of Africa than any other animal apart from the mosquito.
Isn't it because of their jaw?
Yeah, it's a very powerful territorial animal. So if you get anywhere near it, it will charge you and bite you.
Again, a super cute baby.
Bubbles the hippo. Super cute. All right, we'll take a break. Dominic, you hang out. We'll do some news right after this.
What does a party mean to you? Good times with friends?
loud music, and exotic dancers in cages? Little people in cupid wings swinging from the ceilings? Whatever a party is to you, we know how to make it better. By popping motherfucking bottles. And Corolla Drinks has got you covered. We're proud to introduce to the world the bubbly nectar that is sparkling brosé. We captured the stone and tropical fruits from our original brosé and added a little more party. Pop a bottle at brunch, on game day, at a brisk, or in the club. We promise wherever you are, just got better. Hurry, this limited first run will run out. To get your first bottle of sparkling brosé for only $25, head CorollaDrinks.com and let the party begin.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I know people who love podcasts and follow along to a lot of stories have been very much impacted by this. And who knows, maybe someday we'll save somebody. So if you're familiar with the name Adnan Syed, he was the man whose murder conviction of his ex-high school girlfriend was the subject of the podcast Serial a few years ago. It was a phenomenon. He had his conviction vacated yesterday. So the decision freed him. He's now 41 years old. He was in prison for 23 years fighting this conviction that he murdered his former classmate, Haman Lee. And he could even have – they offered him a plea in 2018. He said, no, I'm not guilty.
I had a semi-related discussion with my 16-year-old son last night while we're eating.
Please tell him not to kill his girlfriend.
He got into – his girlfriend's going to kill him for sure. He got into D.B. Cooper, you know, and then talking about they never found him. And they found some money in a river.
There's a new doc on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, is that what it is?
Wasn't great. There's a new – yeah, there's a newish one.
Yeah. Oh, is it called
– it wasn't great. D.B. Cooper? Kind of goes over everything that we know about D.B. Cooper. Doesn't really get into anything that interesting.
Well, he was getting interested. And then he said to me, you know any of that stuff? And I said, yeah, I kind of like that stuff. And then he started saying, like, you know, but the true crime stuff like that. And I said, I don't like it when people are murdered. You know, I don't mind the capers stuff
the
as
heist,
much.
Heist. Yeah.
The heist and stuff. But the horrible murders, because I was maybe telling him about the interviewing the detective with the Golden State, all that stuff. And I said, I don't, it's so attractive to women. Women, you know, moth through the flame. Mm-hmm. It's not like they like it. It's like they need it or something. Right. But I said, I don't like the idea of being entertained by people who died. And even though you're not laughing, you're still kind of being entertained by it.
Right. But then how come every man I know is obsessed with World War II?
I like World War II from the
– it's a lot of heavy genocide.
I like it from the equipment standpoint. Okay. Like I love all the airplanes and the tanks. And
what was that used for?
To kill people. But from 20,000 feet.
Right.
Buddy, I'm with you.
I like the technology of it. Like when you talk to most guys, I think, about, let's say, the atom bomb, Hiroshima, Nagasaki – I think they're more intrigued with the technology of the bomb rather than excited about 90,000 people killed in one fell swoop. Mm-hmm. Like they're more, I think, into this weird race, mechanical race part of it.
I hope so. I'm still fascinated with how someone's mind was able to put all that energy into that contained space and then safely travel it over waters and drop it on someone. That's still fascinating to me how someone was able to go, oh, I think I've worked out how to do that. Like, I don't know how to do that.
It's the whole, I mean, the whole thing's mind-blowing. Mm. I mean, we, you know, people go like, they go, you know, we drop two bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And like, we tested 8 of them on our soil. Right. Someone in Nevada is still fucked up.
You made a perfect point. We never talk about those. You talk about the ones that kill all the people. You've talked endlessly. I know that will come up next week about Baltic gunners and how amazing that was. And they just fucking killed people in the sky. The reason that technology is interesting is it was so effective at doing whatever job it was, a tank, a ball turret gunner, whatever, an atomic bomb. It killed tons of people. Thus, it was amazing technology.
Yeah.
It's concentric circles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, ball turrets always. Well, ball turret always just pisses me off because a ball turret gunner's – the ball turret pisses me off because of what a ball turret gunner could do in 1944. And then you'd come back stateside and you turn on a professional football game and we had a goal post that had two posts going all the way down. We didn't have the technology to do the single post in the middle. Like, we couldn't weld.
It was in the end zone.
Yes, there were two posts cemented into the end zone. Two. You doubled your chance of being concussed by a steel post. We couldn't even figure out the one. But I'm just saying, it would always bother me that we had the ball turret gunner, and we didn't really have containers to keep food fresh.
Right.
You know, like Tupperware was brand new and there's nothing else on the scene. We didn't have ways to transport a cat. We had a box. You had to put cats in a box.
Poke a hole in it.
We didn't have a way to move animals. You know, now it's got a mesh and a zipper and a thing and it folds out.
That.
We had nothing but a box. But I was like, but we had a ball turret.
Was the ball turret guy not in charge of seeing anything?
The ball,
he saw everything.
He saw everything.
It didn't look like he saw much.
He sat in the outside of the plane, in the belly of the plane, and rotated this ball around. You know, 180 degrees and side to side.
He's kind of on his back.
He's laying down on his back, firing a 50 caliber machine gun at Nazi airplanes.
Obviously, he's on comms, right? So he can chat to the plane.
Whoever he wants to.
But
he's not getting out.
Oh,
when they land, he's getting out. That's it.
Yeah, when the pilot says bad news, but the hydraulics are out, we can't deploy the landing gear. He hears it. He can't get out, but he's aware of it.
Yeah. In a tragic mistake, they made the wheels just this much shorter than the ball turret.
No, they did have to land some of those with that guy under the plane.
Wow.
Because what are you going to do?
Yeah. Some Star Wars stuff right there.
Yeah.
But I agree with you in terms of the true crime stuff. I have quite a few pals who are girls who fall asleep at night to like the first 48.
Yeah.
Like, you're falling asleep to true murder cases?
It's got
to
give you weird dreams.
Like, oh, it's kind of nice, you know? Like, no, it's not nice.
Ask me why we do it.
Okay, why do you do it?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
There's no answer. There's
is
no
it
answer.
The feeling of being
is it Schadenfreude?
Unsafe,
well,
knowing that you're safe?
I've talked about this before. Listening to those and scary movies and all that shit, it's the same thing. It's exactly like you just said. It's the feeling that you get of being in danger, knowing full well you are not in danger. However, these are true crimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
it could be you.
Like
yeah.
Right.
Don't watch horror movies. I mean, there's some horror movies that I think are masterpieces, but as a general rule, I don't watch horror movies. There's that film Barbarian out right now, which is like the number one film in the States, horror movie.
It's got good reviews.
All my girl pal friends have gone to see it, and they're like, you want to see it? I'm like, I don't know.
I'm not familiar with it.
I don't dig on the jump scare.
Every girl pal has gone to see Pearl.
What's Pearl?
It's another horror film that's out right now. It's got 94% of Rotten Tomatoes. I saw it. It's very good.
It is?
It's a genre picture. If you like horror movies, you'll love it.
Life is a scary place. I don't necessarily need to walk myself into scary
he
things
handles
because of it.
Venomous lizards and snakes.
Your life
He's
is a horror
done.
Movie.
He's good. Well, in a twist of irony, because this story is just the headlines are so delicious that it's everywhere right now. An executive at a company that makes fake meat products from plants was arrested for biting off a man's nose.
Oh. I heard about this.
Yeah, Douglas Ramsey.
Sweet irony.
Douglas Ramsey, he's the COO of Beyond Meat. He's been charged with terroristic threatening to kill and third-degree battery.
Wasn't it a football game?
Yes.
Sort of. Yes, and. Police officers responded to the scene to discover two men with bloody faces. So the incident occurred following a college football game. Ramsey and another driver got into some road rage, bumping into each other, this, you know, bumper to bumper traffic leaving the university. They started getting heated. Ramsey got upset at the Subaru driver creeping into his exit lane. He jumped out of his car, punched through the back windshield of the Subaru, and smacked the driver. The two men then fought until the cops arrived. The cops' report indicates that Ramsey bit the Subaru owner's nose, ripping the tip.
So Subaru's a pretty good percentage car to attack the driver. You know,
nowadays.
Stay away from El Caminos, custom vans.
We're powered by love and kisses. Mm-hmm.
Ram trucks.
F-350s.
Yeah, stay away from dualies and trucks that have racks or bed boxes on them. You know, go
any
to short, Subaru.
Anything that's high or low.
Yeah, Subaru's a smart money. I can kick this lesbian's ass, but sometimes you run into a tough customer.
Yeah.
Now here's the question: did they win? Did their team win or lose?
I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter. Leaving college football games is a fucking disaster. There's always too few exits. There's always five lanes of people funneling into one lane. Win or lose, it's a nightmare.
There's a lot of people.
But I'm talking about about the demeanor of the person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The loss.
I understand. I'm saying the traffic transcends.
But you know how you people, being males, like to be like, my team, that's my guy on my team. I'm assuming the Subaru driver's team won because he was feeling kind of chuffed and thought he could cut in front of everybody because it's his team. That's my guess.
It factors in. Yeah, we were trying to leave the University of Texas game, 2 weeks ago, Chris? And we sat in a above ground parking structure on the top floor for an hour. We went nowhere.
Didn't move an inch, yeah.
It didn't move an inch. But I will say, losing in that fashion by 1 point made the wait all that much worse, I think, for those partisans around me.
You're right.
And it may have been more likely to dice it up with somebody.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys, because in England, if you let someone into your lane in traffic or do something courteous in traffic, it is absolutely mandatory to just say thank you.
I always give
If you don't in England, it's a problem.
What's the protocol? Just the wave?
Just a wave.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. If you put your hand out the window, that's great. Or a little wave in your rearview mirror. But something to say thank you very much. Is it just California or is it just LA that it's not mandatory?
The Midwest. I'm from Kansas and you always wave. And my mom will say thank you into her mirror as though they can see her. So it's very Midwestern. But yeah, I don't think the coast give a shit about the thank you.
It's unusual for people to say thank you in LA, right? Yes. Do you guys all say thanks when Adam, do you?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big... Okay. I'm a waver. I move out of the way for motorcycles.
Drivers. We're assertive drivers.
Sure. We're assertive, but I'm always waving and I'm always making a berth for the motorcyclist who's splitting the lane.
Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you.
The low point
motorcycle guys are down 86%, though.
But you get it, it's nice. It's like the cookie dough.
Well, now it's a four leaf clover. Yeah. Back in the day, common occurrence. Guy split, you made a berth, hand went out.
Yeah.
Now, used to get it 8 out of 10 times. Now you get it 2 out of 10 times. Yeah. It's gone down.
Yeah.
Look, everyone in LA is a narcissist. They came here from somewhere else, not to be courteous, but to try to launch a country singing career or write screenplays or whatever. So you have a lot of self-absorbed people that are just here trying to get their own shit done. So you get a lot less of the community stuff worked in.
It's very upsetting. I remember my mum telling me when she was dropping me off for school once, she was like, she wanted a device in her car that if she let someone out and they didn't wave, the hook picks up the car and puts them behind her.
Oh, my.
I
love that.
I like aggressive mama.
That's a great
Yeah, I don't know where you guys are at. I'm all for waving somebody past. I don't like when somebody is doing it for you because they're in front of you. Like, occasionally you'll be driving along the street and someone will want to be like jaywalking and someone in front of you will just stop and start like waving. It's like, I didn't agree to this. That person should just wait until it's clear or go to the signal or like whatever.
Yeah.
At the game, I didn't know. I never go to college football games. It was explained that the courteous people on the stacked parking, we're at the very top, back into the spot. Because when the game ends, everyone can now just fold out into it.
Oh, yeah.
But inevitably, you're behind somebody to some asshole that didn't back into the spot. And then the person stops and they're like, waving them and they're doing the 3-point, and you're like, hey, I didn't agree to this.
We're on the same page here.
He didn't back in.
You stay till the end.
Now we're all stopping and you're being courteous, but you're forcing me to be courteous, but I don't get any of the accolades.
Yeah.
You get the wave.
That's right.
I'm a hostage. Nothing more, nothing less. A simple hostage.
I'm here against my will.
That's right.
Well, starting in 2027, Californians are going to have a different burial option. And I think a lot of people are going to get on board with this.
Say Viking funeral.
No. But Newsom did sign a bill that allows human composting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's AB 351. It allows for the method in which human remains naturally decompose over a 30 to 45 day period and are turned into soil. And then the human composted soil can be returned to the family or donated to conservation land.
It is kind of crazy. We still bury people in coffins.
Supporters say it's environmentally friendly. It's a different approach to the traditional end-of-life options. And there are already states that do this. Washington, Colorado, Oregon, and Vermont already do it.
This story was out of Washington, I think, a couple of years ago.
The pods, the tree pods.
Oh, the tree
pods. They're like standing up.
Yeah.
Lined with some sort of fertilizer, somebody get the growing.
They guarantee that for like the next year and a half to 2 years or something that tree will be taken care of, and then the rest of it is like, go with God, whatever, like do what happens naturally. But yeah, it's a tree for at least a couple of years, and then
And I have to give it to my people. I think the Jews are already sort of doing that. There's no embalming. It's a pine box. It's back into the earth as you were.
Go vertical, because
I like vertical.
Ditch digging's a pain in the ass, and I know they'll do it with a backhoe now, but you can get a caisson rig. It's just a giant auger bit. They use it.
You're really taking the beauty out of this.
They use it for a lot of foundation work where you got to drop the caisson.
The bedrock.
Sure.
Yeah, they just, they make them all different sizes. You just zip, punch holes. And you could get 13 people buried in the space you did three when you lay them out flat and do the big dig, ditch dig and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any religious qualms with going vertical? Anybody care?
I think the problem is people are so narcissistic and they talk about not accepting death. They go like, well, we're going to get a nice coffin and we'll line it with some padding. You know what I mean? And we'll have
this
quilting.
This is the Cadillac of caskets.
Yeah. Adam, you love napping, right? Yeah. Well, imagine if you nap for eternity.
As though it's a referendum on how you felt about the
question. Versus I don't want to stand in line my whole life. So my eternity, I'm standing there like I'm in some bakery where I never get to the counter.
That's a good point.
Also, everyone would want to be on top, right? You wouldn't want to be anywhere but the closest to the
soil. We're talking about
you're
stacking them like Pez.
I was doing this.
I don't want some douche standing on my shoulders for eternity.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was figuring just dropping them like 8 feet, leave about 2 feet of headspace there.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. And I've gotten to the point where like, I don't care. Like when the meat suit is done being used, do with it what you
burn
will.
Me up.
I don't give it. I don't care.
Did you guys see the little queen's funeral? Did you see her?
So long.
Tiny little coffin.
It was teeny.
Tiny. So long. I mean, she was a small lady anyway, and then she obviously got smaller and smaller as she became 96. But her coffin was, I thought, noticeably smaller.
She had a custom-made Jaguar hearse.
Of course she did.
I fucking love that car.
Fifth most richest woman in the world.
I'm such a car guy that I was like looking at it. Then I started looking at the hearse.
Christy saw it. She's like, they don't make that.
Beautiful.
No, they don't make it. It's beautiful. It'd make a hell of an SUV, third row. But the color.
It was badass.
The color of it, which was this kind of eggplant, Merlot, kind of just this deep burgundy. We're going to find that. It was beautiful.
It was stunning.
Was it that dark?
It was
burgundy-esque, I think.
Mm. Also, the visibility, it'd actually be great on safari, because you'd actually be able to see
we're talking.
It was a beautiful...
That's the Pope Mobile.
Some true craftsman got out the English wheel and shaped that steel.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful... that's all I was thinking the whole time. God, what a ride.
Say what you want about the Queen of England, but... She did have quite impeccable taste.
Mm.
She did.
She had great taste in purses and handbags and had a nice kind of suit and all that kind of stuff.
Colonies.
And I did think that everything about that funeral was just
a
little level of sophistication you don't see that often, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. They keep it classy over
there.
They do
keep it classy.
Including Jaguar, who built a fucking hell of a hearse.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
Now,
oh, that, yeah, look at that. Yeah. That's a dramatic.
It's not even, there's better, there's pictures in the sunlight. You'll find some, it's, it looks like it's raining,
of course,
but
it's
you'll
raining,
see some pictures in the sunlight of, during the procession as it was sort of going along.
Yeah.
You'll see that looked like 10 coats of hand rubbed lacquer.
Yeah, that's what
that's a custom made car, Adam. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What is there, like five of those on the planet still, or something?
There might be one.
Do they hang on to that for, Charles?
For the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Charles, like, keep it running. I'm old.
You never know. Yeah, he's 75.
Is it like a very deep royal purple?
You got to find the, you'll
that
find
it. That was my recollection. Yeah. It was like Tyrone Hill, the old basketball player. So black, it's purple.
I wonder if those top two sunroofs go back.
I was watching it on TV, and sometimes TV can muss with things. But I saw a picture where the sun was hitting the fender, and it looked
like a glow,
one of my favorite colors, a very deep burgundy. Mm-hmm. And it looked so great. But the lines look great. Like, we'll find an on the ground picture of it.
There, right? Would that be coined a spoiler, that thing on the back?
I don't know, but probably you're right with the glass.
The glass is amazing.
All right, one more, half a more, Gina.
Okay, well, let's talk toys real quick, because you didn't have toys, but some of many people's favorite childhood games are going to be honored at the 2022 Toy Hall of Fame, and I thought I'd just give you the list. The Strong National Museum of Play announced their 12 finalists. Here they are. Bingo. The 1950s...
Bingo? Is that
bingo.
Not in the Hall of Fame?
Apparently not. I've never heard of these, but the Breyer horses?
No.
The little, like, hand-painted horses from the 50s.
Oh, no.
A German game known as Settlers of Catan.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of it.
Oh, no.
Light Bright, a
making
perennial all-star.
Light, how to sign, making things in light bright.
Turn on the magical sparkling light.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, Masters of the Universe, He-Man and She-Ra, finally.
It is shocking they have not made a He-Man movie.
They did,
you mean like a
the animated
Hemsworth?
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying with all the properties coming back.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's crazy.
Nerf toys, just in general. Nerf. What else we got? Oh, the card game Phase 10. Pound Puppies, which you guys might not be familiar with.
Pound Puppies.
Fuck, I'm familiar. Racco. Card game. The Spirograph.
I was a big fan of the
Spirograph. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Geometric.
And finally, the top.
Oh, wow.
The spinning top has never been put in the Hall of Fame.
The dreidel. It's been around since dawn of time.
That's right.
The
Schicksy dreidel. So those are your toys, and the winners will be announced on November 10th.
Find a picture of that damn car so I can see that beautiful eggplant color.
Google him right.
It's driving me nuts. You got to be on the ground during the procession. It had to be.
There's a ton of pictures, but they're not on the ground. That's why I'm trying to
bring it home in the meantime.
Yeah. Right.
Look at that.
Okay, you know what? I see a hint of burgundy in that.
That's not what
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Just kill me.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
They don't have pics of it in the procession, huh?
They do, but they're like aerial or it's dark.
Here's your picture.
Let's see.
I mean, that has a... A burgundy finish.
The rims look great, too.
Yeah.
Nice on Jag. Beautiful car.
Classy.
I took note. All right, Dominic, the Moriarty. Mm. Moriarty, the Devil's Game, exclusively on Audible. And then also there's Moonhaven, streaming on AMC as well. And then you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows, because I'm doing live shows everywhere. And Kim Kahana, 92 years young, his stunt school, Kahana's Stunt School, in this book, Kahana, The Untold Story. And thanks, Dominic. Always
great
good to see you. Come
guys.
Back anytime you like.
Thank you.
Till next time, it's Adam for Dominic and Kim and Gina and Bald saying mahalo.
I don't know about this magic class.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at AdamCarolla.com.
you own, do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV. All for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.